at 8.07. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Friday. Are you making plans for things to get done next week? Maybe you start that by getting on the phone or getting online. 1-800-GOT-JUNK or 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And booking Trey and the crew to come on out and get rid of the junk at your office, your house, around your house, under your house. Listen, I don't care where the junk is. They can get it. If you've got one of those death-defying attic stairway things, you know, that with the little strips of wood that you're climbing up into the attic and carrying down boxes that weigh as much as you, I got an idea. Let the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK do that, and they'll set an appointment time with you, and not a spectrum of time. Not, hey, we'll be there Monday through Thursday, sometime between 7 in the morning and 7 at night. Nuh-uh. They're going to say, hey, we'll be there Tuesday at 5:30 in the afternoon, or whatever you want. They book that time, they're there, and they make the junk go away very, very quickly. And the price they quote you, that's the price you pay, whether the job turns out to be bigger than they thought it was or not. Check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. What, you want to come get your trash can?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I've got
the trash can.
I've got trash can problems now.
So you've lost, you dropped the top on your trash can?
Yeah, at the perfect time of year, too, when it's never raining outside. And when it rains, it hardly rains. But, yeah, finally lost. So I've had a lid problem the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been bad enough that
I've... serious.
It's a real serious lid problem. But it hasn't been bad enough that I've called the city to bring me a new can or mm-hmm. to come fix the lid. I've just been fixing it myself. Well, yesterday it finally lost the lid. It's somewhere where Mobile City takes the garbage, wherever that may be. Now my lid is with the rest of the garbage.
So it was shaken loose by, you know, when the automatic arm picks it up and so there went the lid to yeah. y'all's trash can.
Yeah, there went the lid. So I pull up into my driveway yesterday and I see that I'm lidless. No lid at all on the can.
But you got to have some garbage soup in the bottom of your can.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It goes well with those old grocery bags.
Oh, yeah.
The circulars.
Yes, and it's been seeping in the sun a little bit too. That's fantastic.
It smelled great.
Yeah,
it really did.
You must be neighbor of the century.
I'm sure I am, because I poured it right on out into the street, which it was just liquid, just water,
right.
and the mixture, you know, there at the bottom.
The soup, yes.
And I looked all around thinking maybe a wild wind took the lid somewhere and I could keep doing what I've been doing the last few weeks and just place it on top of the can, but it's gone. So called the city. Hopefully next week I'll have either a new can or a new lid.
City, he needs a lid.
Give
city
me a lid.
Mobile. So, I mean, because I'm looking at the structure of the city. This is just for us in Mobile, but the structure of the actual can, pretty solid.
Yes.
Right? But the lid...
plastic.
It's a lighter plastic, right? It's pretty weak. And where they pin to the handles, pretty weak as well. Why don't they take a clue? Because they've got kind of the heavy, roto-molded seeming can. Why don't we go like the Yeti style?
Ooh.
You know, for the lid. Why don't we get somebody go with a heavy-duty, high-impact, using some sort of hinging system that doesn't involve little pins in it for the lid, and make that heavy? Just an idea.
Yeah, I like what you're thinking. I don't know how many other...
New from Yeti, your trash can. The most expensive trash can you've ever purchased.
Yeah. I don't know how many other people out there are having lid problems with their City of Mobile cans, but
lid problem is a commercial just coming down the pike waiting. Do you have lid problems?
Just driving around my neighborhood, it appears that I'm the only one that's right now lidless.
Oh, well, you gotta go to my neighborhood. There's a whole bunch of them in various states of falling off.
You create a lid posse.
we'll do some scan. Y'all send us some pictures of your broken lids there. Send them to the text line at 343-0106. All right, looking at the text line as well, a lot of texts coming in here about the aircraft that came in late. Now, let's be frank about this. The flight was very, very late coming into Mobile Regional Airport. It was, 2 hours and 15 minutes late, something like that. As he shows up, it's a flight out of Dallas to... Yeah, there it is, Dallas to Mobile. Passengers on American Airlines Flight 5841 were stranded for hours at Mobile Regional Airport overnight after their flight arrived nearly 3 hours late from Dallas. Two passengers contacted our news partners, Channel 5, about 1:30 this morning, saying the plane arrived at a closed airport and passengers on the plane were waiting on the tarmac for someone to open the gate and disembark the plane. Or open it, or probably use, you know, how the little accordion-like system for the jetway goes out there. The captain on the plane told the passengers he had never encountered a situation like this one. That makes everybody feel better. Mm-hmm. According to one passenger who contacted News 5, a flight tracking website, flightaware.com, confirms the flight arrived into Mobile at 12:53 this morning, 2 hours and 41 minutes after its scheduled arrival time. All right, so, you know, the flight's really, really late coming in. But should you have some way to know that that flight's coming in? People have asked some very good questions on the text line. Number one, was air traffic control still there? Of course, yeah.
Somebody had to land them.
Yeah, well, air traffic control was there, but of course they don't come down from the tower. And but couldn't they get on the phone? When somebody said, "Well, I'm locking it up here. We're closed down for the night at the airport." Shouldn't somebody at air traffic control go, "Yeah, well, we still got flights that are due in here"?
Yeah, you'd think somebody would be able to communicate that. Now, I think the airport usually closes right around 10 p.m. It seems like the last flights are scheduled to come in from 9 to 10 p.m. usually every night. But I had an experience just last year with the flooding in Houston. My brother was flying in from Texas, and he flew through Houston here to Mobile. I can't remember the airline, but his bag was left in Houston. So he disembarks the plane, and everybody on his flight gets their bags. But we were waiting to talk to an attendant for whatever that airline is to get his bag back. Well, that attendant was working another plane, and this was right around 10 p.m. at night. The attendant had to go out and disembark, take all the passengers' bags off of this other plane that came in. But since he was the only one working for that airline at night, we had to wait just about an hour. We had to wait a long time for him to finish up what he was doing to come out just to tell us that he'd call us the next day if our bag came in. So I think this fall, I think the airline employs people that work for their airline at the Mobile Regional Airport. Of course, I think most of the people are local that work for them, but it's not an actual, as far as I understand it, it's not an actual Mobile Airport employee, but an employee of that airline.
Right. That, yeah.
It appears that the employee for American Airlines just left. I don't know if he had to have known the flight was coming in late. I'm not sure how that worked out.
Well, maybe, yeah, that's the things we need to find out. Was that communicated to them? You had pointed out they had to get a manager to come in from 2 hours away, which strikes me as strange if that's where they live, that the manager of the airport, somebody would be living that far away from the airport.
Yeah, that's what our news partner WKRG reported this morning, that 2 hours.
You have a lot of authority here that are part of this. I mean, you're talking about the FAA, you're talking about the Mobile Airport Authority, you're talking about the airline employees. So in situations like this, to understand the pie chart, if you will, of who does what and who is supposed to be where they're supposed to be. You like that? Think about this, though. They're coming from another state, these passengers. You think about, you have to be to the airport, 90 minutes prior to your flight?
At least.
In your actual flight happens, then you land and you're thinking, okay, what's open right now? I'm hungry, you know, I want to go get to my family, XYZ, and you're sitting on this tarmac. Thankfully, they arrive safely, because think about if everyone left.
Yep.
How would this plane land? Would they circle and then go back to where they came from?
The people, were there at the tower, but I guess they don't communicate. And I would say I don't have the actual audio from the night that Dalton and his brother were trying to get that bag, but here's what I think it sounds like, Kelly. Tell me if I'm right. Okay. All right. So they're the employee who is there. Well, first, I got to load the plane. Then I got to get the stinking bags off the plane. I got to get the people off the plane. Then I got to deal with these two yutzes out here. Then I got to put other people on another plane.
I'm the
only one that works around here. Mm-hmm. A bunch of slackers, if you ask me. You know. So
before you play that audio.
Well, that was it. That was my video.
I know, but you have some more audio that's kind of what's really funny.
Oh, yeah.
I want to salute the baggage handlers, because you think about when it's super, super hot and you're on you're on the plane and the AC is sort of churning. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh my goodness, it's hot. They're down there equipped in, you know, their uniforms, and they're having to haul and pick up luggage that's not supposed to be more than 75 pounds. And I've been guilty of kind of.
No.
What?
Just
you need that many pair of shoes.
Shoes, I was about to say. Imelda Marcos.
You know what? Recently, our church had a deal where we could, you know, we can volunteer and give back shoes, you know, to help others in other countries. And my husband looked at me like, surely you have a nice donation. I dropped off 5 pairs.
Yeah, because people in the third world really need a cute pair of pumps.
They were not pumps. They were gym shoes.
Okay.
And they were
just making sure.
Yeah, come on.
Some picture of these will be very cute.
I
people like, I've got to walk through the desert, or I got to walk through the savannah with these on.
Shout out to City Hope. Thanks for allowing me to donate.
I am wrong. Susan says, yeah, the no ground crew there, so there would be no hookup for the AC. It's a UPC, APC. APC, they wheel out and hook up to the planes to run the air conditioning when they're on the ground. Somebody says, seems like they should check with the tower before going home. A couple of people asking, what about air traffic control? I think air traffic control is there, but that's not their job. Mm-hmm. It's that guy who, I got to load the plane, unload the plane.
Yeah, we were wondering if the pilot could have gotten out and started, unboarding, taking all the bags off the plane, but I'm sure there's like union rules and all kinds of things to get around there.
Yeah,
safety's key.
Yeah, good question. Somebody's asking, what if there were, you had big executives traveling in, looking at this city for development or something like that? Would that be a reason for not to do it? Although somebody also suggested maybe we make it. Oh, come on, Mark, you're going to get us in trouble.
What?
He just says the airport needs to implement self checkout, like a big box store out there. Check yourself, scan yourself.
No, because somebody's barcode would not be right because they got a tan or something.
Yeah, but you're going to be the one. There's one attendant. You go over to that desk. The rest of us, you kind of scan yourself in now. I do that check-in at the kiosk. Oh, get some more of these texts and calls when we get back here. And then I'm just thinking the guy would just be going, man, I'm the one person here that works, and all I do is load and unload and deal with Dalton and...
Good morning, 8:23 here on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. If you're a small business owner, maybe an airport, you probably know that the right hire or the wrong hire can have a really good or bad impact on your business. Good post to some job boards.
Yeah.
But if you do that, do you really know that your job post will reach the most qualified candidates? Well, when you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike those job boards, LinkedIn is a community. That's the key word. They're a community that career-focused people visit every day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours, insights that are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. That's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now, if you go to linkedin.com/WAVH, you get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's linkedin.com/WAVH for your $50 credit. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
So you're saying if you're an airport looking for...
Just saying.
Possibly new employees.
Yeah, if you're looking for somebody...
And be frank, to be accurate, I think it is, like we said earlier, the airline, not the airport.
That's correct.
That would have that, so it would be somebody with United, correct?
No, the airport only staffs the people at the front of the building that tell you to go take your concerns to the airline employee. At least that's how it's worked in my experience.
They have the moderator there, the ombudsman there to tell you, well, I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Right.
Oh, by the way, too, with all this tough news out there, we can talk about some good news happening right here. I don't have many details here, but good news. Leader of Al-Qaeda in Pakistan, drone took him out.
Good.
So there you go. Awesome. I'm not crazy about, I got to tell you, and that's a whole other show, about using drones that way. But, if it, in this case, ends up with the head of Al-Qaeda Pakistan out, I'm pretty good.
Well, how often do we hear these stories, so-and-so was taken out in Al-Qaeda or so-and-so in ISIS was taken out, and then we find out a few weeks later that that's not actually the case sometimes?
Well, and we so don't have time for this, and I know a bunch of people say, well, that's good. It is. Listen, when you get the right person, it's great. But if we are going to continue these actions in foreign places, and we're trying to at least not, you're not going to have people in many areas of the world love us. But if you don't want to continue to have them hate us, it seems strange to me that you would use something from above the drone that could hit the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
I know that this is a way to do it and stay legal and not have our assets on the ground, in the field, and risked. I appreciate that as well. Mm-hmm. But you have heard stories of some places where the collateral damage ends up, they recruit a bunch more people. Mm-hmm. Maybe we eventually get the dirt bag we need to get. But in doing that, we hurt other people. Mm-hmm. And half the time those stories come out where we hurt other people, they're counterintelligence coming from those groups, and they may kill the people and make it look like the drone.
Yeah.
But sometimes you do, or these people, if they can make the case to the local folks that that, you know, this child or this woman was killed as well. It's a tough discussion. I don't think it's a really easy one.
Mm-mm.
But in days when we get, and hopefully this is accurate, that we got this dirtbag there in Pakistan, then it's good. But I'm just saying there have been stories where it's always been how we planned it.
But that's why the intelligence is so important in us not revealing our secrets to so many people, that we just need to get the job done and then be able to produce the results from a viable source, so, you know, we understand what's happening overseas, because, you know, there's always a war going on somewhere. Just keep that in mind.
That is true. Okay, those two. I was going to go to the phones, but I see on the top of the stack here, because I see Chris Curry's name from the Mobile Airport Authority. Now we can get some questions answered. Chris, thanks for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, no problem. So what do you know now for the situation last night out at Mobile Regional?
Well, what I know is that there was some miscommunication internally with American Airlines, and our station was notified that the last flight would be canceled. And so when they were notified the flight would be canceled, the staff essentially went home. And the flight arrived after the staff for American Airlines that went home.
This is why it's good to get real info. Okay, so mm-hmm. so Mobile Regional Airport and the people on the ground with United Airlines get word, I guess, would it be out of Dallas or somewhere, Chris, that says, hey, we're not coming? Or how does that work?
Yes, American Airlines, their dispatch operates basically out of Dallas. And they control, you know, everything that goes on within their network. And so when you're talking to American Airlines, you know, they have the mainline aircraft, but they also have affiliates that fly on their behalf, such as Mesa and other smaller regional jets. And so there's a lot of communication that goes on between them. And especially this time of the year, when we have these weather systems that affect Atlanta and Charlotte and most of the areas in the South, we have a lot of flights that arrive much later than normal. So communication is key to ensure that the staff at the outstations, such as Mobile, Pensacola, and Gulfport, you know, understand what's going on with the arrival of those flights.
Chris, walk us through. So the word is put out that this flight is going to be canceled. How many minutes or hours prior to that flight when it should have landed is that word put out? And then who does what?
Well, there's no specific time frame, really. I mean, sometimes airports are notified that, you know, a flight is still inbound and staff may stay around for an hour or two before the airlines decide to cancel that flight. So it's, you know, it's a lot of communication that goes on, but there's no set standard. I mean, for example, earlier this week, you know, we're doing construction at night at Mobile Regional, and sometimes we're told that a flight may be 15 minutes late. So we'll keep the runways open 15 minutes, and then we'll find out that flight may be 45 minutes late, or it might be an hour and a half late, and then you may find out later that the flight is canceled. So it's kind of hit and miss with that.
Hey, Chris, I'm pretty close to the bottom of the hour news break. That's a hard break here. Could you hold on with us after the break? Because I would like to know, in the situation like last night, what you could tell us as passengers would be the best, you know, if we were in that situation ever down the road, whether it's here or some other airport elsewhere, what we should do. Could you hang on for just a minute or two?
Okay.
All right. Coming right back, because Chris Curry's on with us from the Mobile Airport Authority, and we're talking about the story from early this morning, and now we get the information how it worked. I really appreciate him calling here and get a little more insight into it. All right, run to the news break here. Update from Westwood One, and then we'll be right back. And if you got questions specifically about this kind of situation, whether it be here from Mobile Regional or elsewhere, go ahead and text those in to 343-0106. Thanks, Kane. 8:34, FM Talk 106.5. Showers already in the mix this morning. More this afternoon, says Dr. Bill Williams. We'll talk to him again coming up in just a little bit. Continue our conversation with Mobile Airport Authority Executive Director Chris Curry about the story that our news partners at WKRG had reported, had some people pop in our text line this morning as well, about a flight that came into Mobile Regional Airport in the wee hours, and there was no one there to deplane those folks. And Chris, you're telling us more about how this works. And once again, this is something that, what, a failure at United Airlines in Dallas that led to a problem in Mobile?
Yes, I think it was an internal communication failure. And one thing, you know, I want to make sure that I explain is that there is a separation of responsibilities at the airport between the airport and the airline. You know, airlines are just tenants of ours at the airport. So the airport's responsibility is to make sure that the airport is safe and secure, and we stay open as long as our tenants need us to be open. So we have airport staff at the airport until the last flight comes in. So their responsibility is everything dealing with the uploading, offloading of passengers and baggage and that kind of thing. And our responsibility is just to make sure that the facility is adequate.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I wanted to ask, with the plane coming in so late, I assume that an air traffic controller had to be, I guess, on location to land that plane. Would it be possible that air traffic controller knew that the plane was coming in, even though the rest of the staff got word that the plane was canceled? How exactly would that have worked?
Well, you know, you're talking really three different entities involved. So air traffic is a federal government agency that are also tenants on the airport, and they have certain hours that they normally work as well. I mean, it is possible to land the airlines at the airport without having somebody present in the tower. That responsibility just transfers over perhaps to a radar unit that can guide the plane all the way in as if the tower is not manned after a certain amount of hours, because they have limitations as to how many hours they can work as well. So, for example, if a flight came in at 2 or 3 in the morning, we would still be there if we knew the flight was open, but that doesn't mean that someone would have to be in the tower.
Gotcha. And one last question here I have, that is, there, if a situation like this happens again, and maybe it's not here, maybe, Chris, we're at some other airport somewhere else, what should we do as a passenger? We're on the ground now, we're sitting outside, nobody's there, and we have our cell phone with us. Who do we call?
Well, essentially, what happens generally is that they will call the airport, and again, we will have somebody there as long as we know that there's a flight coming in as communicated by the airline. And so once we're notified, then we have the ability to reach out to the station manager of either airline that's there, or even to the dispatch in Dallas as well. And fortunately for us, or unfortunately, our CFO was on the flight last night that came in.
So we have first-hand account
of communication as well.
So if I'm ever going to be in that position, I want somebody like a CFO on that plane with me, because I go, that guy, I follow that guy, whatever he says.
Chris,
if we're made aware as the airport, then we will intervene and try to contact the airlines responsible.
You don't want to be on the other end of that phone call. Chris, so the question is, I think, is, you know, what next? Of course, more flights are going to come in. We know about delays and cancellations and weather issues. If this were to happen again, what can happen that can be better for all parties involved?
Well, I mean, there'll certainly be a lot of communication that occurs today in regards to this with American Airlines from their station manager, from their affiliate carriers, and the airport will be involved in that situation. But, you know, keep in mind that, you know, every year this time of year that we have these thunderstorms that affect all these southern locations, there is a likelihood that this could happen, right?
Yep.
But this is the only time that we have talked about this particular situation, probably in several years.
Well, hopefully, yeah. Hopefully, it's not an issue going forward. But I really do appreciate you calling in and giving us facts and clarifying stuff this morning. And I'm sorry, I'm going to get in trouble because Kelly said
I'm sorry.
One more question.
We're referring to our news partners, WKRG, and they said that the person who was able to help get this moving so late or early into the morning hours, a manager was 2 hours away. You know, is that normal? Is that something that could possibly change in case there is another an urgent situation and you need an urgent reaction?
Well, again, the airlines are a tenant of the airport, so I don't get into where a station manager lives or how far they should be from the airport, if indeed that was the case. I mean, that's sort of a requirement of each individual airlines as to the proximity of where their people live to the airport. So that's not an airport related item per se, but again, I'll lead with this: is that I've been on you guys' show before. You have my contact information, so whenever you have an issue that's airport related, you can call me directly.
There we go. And I like that.
Thank you.
And I like that. Chris, thank you for your time this morning. And we are going to, even not for a situation like this, just let's talk airports and airplanes. Have you back on the show soon?
Yep. You can call me anytime.
Great stuff. Thank you. Executive Director at the Mobile Airport Authority, Chris Curry, checking in right here on Mobile Morning.
Love
so there we go.
His accessibility. He joined us right when he arrived in town and was gracious enough to kind of lay out, you know, what he was expecting to do in his new role and how the city would benefit from that.
So there you go. There's the info. So instead of, that's nice when we get the factual thing, you know.
Directly.
All right.
CFO on board. Could you imagine?
Well, that helps. Ooh. That helps when you get the CFO on board. All right. A bunch of texts coming in here. We'll try to get these read here during the break. And, yeah, a lot of people had that question for why it took 2 hours. But once again, that's a good point. The split there between what's the responsibility of the airport and the tenants being the airlines there.
So. But it's unfortunate, though, but the optics of the situation puts the onus on the Mobile airport because
sure it does. That's the easy. You look at it, there's a problem.
That's what you see.
Yeah, even though it sounds like it was American Airlines miscommunication and their fault that the people arrive in Mobile. So that's unfortunate that makes it look like city doesn't really know what they're doing. You know.
All right. Before we get to, I've got a couple other things to get to, but I know that I was going to do this story yesterday and then ran out of time, and then going to do it during the midday and ran out of time. And Kelly reminded me this morning because she is not and rightfully so, not let us finish this week without doing the story about the woman with her head in the tailpipe.
Well,
story.
You know, since I get to talk about vehicles, you know, each day, I'm alert.
Okay.
I recognize vehicle stories a lot faster.
I am looking at this vehicle. It is not a Mazda, so this is not.
No,
a fear.
It is not.
But here you go. And the story out of the Minnesota last weekend, 19-year-old woman named Caitlin Strom was at the Winstock Country Music Festival in central Minnesota when she was checking out a truck, and she decided she'd put her head in the oversized tailpipe of the truck. So, you know, get the big tailpipes there, you know, the big loud tailpipes.
She was really checking that truck out.
This thing's got a very big tailpipe on it, although I think her head is kind of small. I'll leave it at that. Firefighters were called after she got her head stuck to get her out of there. By the way, that was not the first time that day that Caitlin had put her head in that tailpipe. I guess she had come back again to show them how she did it the previous time. And by the way, too, the six-second video showing her with her head stuck in the tailpipe has gotten 2.4 million views on her Facebook page. After Caitlin got free from the tailpipe, she was escorted out of the festival, and cops cited her for what? Y'all, anybody?
I'm not sure.
Public intoxication.
Bingo. Oh. Underage drinking. I know it's a big shock that alcohol would possibly involved in a story that says woman sticks head in truck tailpipe and gets stuck. By the way, they did. The firefighters had to come in with the cutters and the whole nine yards and cut her head. Well, cut the tailpipe from around her head.
So
to
the
get
firefighters
her free.
Have a great story to tell.
Oh my gosh,
the rookies
get back
that
to the
come
station.
In. That
hey, y'all aren't gonna believe this.
Right.
By the way, no word on whether the truck owner is going to, you know, be paid back for the adjustment to the tailpipe there on his truck.
I don't know why. It just got louder.
Yeah. By the way, too. Oh, yeah. See, there's a new update here, too. The post on Facebook has gotten response here from, I guess, Caitlin Strom with a post proclaiming, "Yes, I'm the tailpipe girl. What you know about it? Good times."
Wait a minute. Is she related to that one lady?
She reminds me of the...
what's the young...
Cash Me Outside?
Her. Probably her first
Yes,
cousin.
I'm the tailpipe girl. What you know about it? Good times. So
she's
I know it's
for
shocking.
A hashtag. That's
yeah. A hashtag called alcohol.
You are acting like a fool.
She's lucky you didn't crank the truck up while her head was stuck in
well,
there.
Well, see, that's something that would have happened with my kinfolk. It had been like, I got an idea. Tell you what you do. We're going to get some back pressure on this thing.
Uh-huh.
Y'all hold her and kind of pull her back a little bit. I'm going to fire this truck up and I'm going to rev it up and we'll pop her head. Pop her head right out.
The old Windstock Festival. I've heard many a legendary tale from Windstock.
Well, at least one of them.
Yeah, the one legendary story.
And it does involve alcohol. All right, 844 FM Talk 1065. Grab some calls when we get back at 343-0106, 343-0106. So just word to the wise, this weekend, if you see that big tailpipe, you're tempted to see if your head might fit in that tailpipe.
Don't do it.
Back away from the tailpipe. All right. Right, 850 FM Talk 1065 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. By the way, some are better than others. The contest launched this week. Your chance to get registered right now at the Carrot Patch in the Pine Brook Shopping Center. Make sure you go by, drop your name in. You can do this on through next week. And then somebody's going to win a $50 weekly prize from the Carrot Patch and be entered in for the grand prize. Over $5,500 worth of goodies in this giveaway. Details on our Facebook page, website, and other social media platforms. All right, we mentioned a tailpipe with a head in it from last weekend in Minnesota. That's probably not one of the standard options on the Mazda 3, head-sized tailpipe.
No, sir.
No? All right, but it does have every other option.
That's very true. All about safety and looking good and feeling good and getting to your destination.
Keeping your head out of the tailpipe.
There you have it. So if you hop on Twitter real fast, I have posted pictures of the vehicle we've been talking about this week. This is the 2018 Mazda 3. He has a name. Are you ready for his name?
Yes.
Okay. White Lightning.
George Jones would be proud.
Which I have a White Lightning story all the way.
Okay, so, you know, we always, you know, this is a generation where you're like, look, I have questions. I want to see this for myself. And so this is just another opportunity to remind you that I'm testing out vehicles under the umbrella of all-new Dean McCrary. This week, of course, is the Mazda 3. You can hop online and look at the specifications, or the bells and whistles, as they say, when it comes to this vehicle. I tell you, yesterday when the rain started coming down, I enjoyed it because I was like, let me test this car out. Let me really see how it moves and grooves, because he has 5-star rating from the IIHS. I mean, that's a big deal when it comes to the Highway Safety Institute and getting your VIPs safely to their destination. And the rain came down, and I felt so smooth, so I was hugging the road and getting to where I need to go. This is, because Sean, you asked earlier in the week the difference between the styles. So
yes.
You can pick between the Sport, the Touring, and the Grand Touring. I'm driving the Touring, and this seats 5, okay?
Okay.
5 people. And yesterday I told you, we're talking 2 car seats and a booster and then 2 adults up front, or 4 healthy adults would enjoy this as well.
I like healthy adults.
Yeah.
I resemble
like
that.
When you go to my Twitter timeline, at Kelly K2K Finley, you can see the vehicle that I'm talking about. He is absolutely beautiful. And I've got to tell you, you know, when I talked to Greg, the general manager there, I said, what do you want people really to know about? And he said, this is that type of vehicle that, first of all, this is a luxury car. But he said, this is the type of vehicle, let's say you're looking for your starter vehicle. You want a safe brand, a quality brand. This is the vehicle you choose. Let's say you have a kid going to college and you already have Mazda in the family and you know about the Mazda, but you don't want to put them in a major vehicle, a bigger vehicle.
Right.
This is that vehicle. So it's just a lot of fun. I mean, interior is smoking hot, beautiful.
Nice.
It is. It really is. And, you know, you have all the touch screen, you have the push button start, and I'm just enjoying him. White Lightning.
Great stuff.
That's his name. You can find out more information by calling 471-DEAN or just go visit the all-new Dean McCrary on the East Service Road of I-65.
Hey, thank you also for reminding me. I've had this story for a couple of days, but I just failed to bring it to you. The 250 gallons worth of moonshine and over at over $10,000 illegal operation, a moonshine operation busted in the Eufaula area. So over in East Alabama. Who's still make? I guess there's. Well,
you can find them on the Discovery Channel. Or is that right, is that show still running? Moonshiners.
I don't know.
I've seen a few episodes of that,
but it has some pretty good pictures of the still and the setup here and them making moonshine. Yeah, so 250 gallons worth of shine picked it up by the revenue man somewhere over by Eufaula. All right, if you were is it what? No, so Mark Holliday, who knows every show that's ever been made.
At last report, it is still in current production.
What happens on that show? I mean, is it like, hey, I'm going to make moonshine, and the revenue is coming to get me, or what?
Well, they have the story arcs from two different directions. A lot of cases, they jump from the sheriff who is trying to search out find his moonshiners in his county. And then they have a variety of different moonshiners that follow, that the camera crew follows them along, and they go through the pitfalls that they have in trying to find a location and set up the still and build it. And some of them, I'm wondering how they were able
they're
to get
on the record.
As age that they were, because some of them were just plain stupid, in my opinion. But
what they're doing is against the law.
Absolutely.
And there's a show that's publicly showing this person, right? Does it blur out their faces?
No. Oh, no. They're easily recognizable.
Wow.
So, I mean, I really don't think it's an issue. I mean, but if it's against the law,
one of them,
in those places, and they got a TV show, they're doing it. I mean, you wouldn't have, like, crack cook show and show people's faces, who are doing that and not have a raid on them, right?
I don't know. Maybe,
if they're breaking the law.
Maybe you might. I don't know.
I've just gave
like
them a new
Bad Boys, what you going to do?
There was one of the moonshiners, Tim, from the very first season.
Yes.
Tim decided he was going to go legit, and so he's got a distillery in Kentucky now.
Cool.
Nice.
And he's making White Lightning, and he came up with the idea because to age White Lightning into whiskey, you need to put it into barrels, and so you've got that surface area. Instead, he took chunks of wood and threw into the whiskey. Instead of throwing the whiskey into the barrel, he threw the wood into the whiskey and increased the sped up the time for aging. By
invention, the spirit of invention is still alive.
Yesterday was Bourbon Day, too.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yes. National Bourbon Day.
I love bourbon.
Perfect for Flag Day compliment. So there we go. Everything I need to know about moonshiners. Thank you, Mark Holliday.
You know, you said Eufaula. You know, Martha Reeves is from Eufaula.
I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Mann.
Dancing in the Streets.
Oh, I know Martha Reeves. Mm-hmm. I know the Vandellas.
Mm-hmm.
But also Tom Mann from the Mann's Bait Company. Back in the olden days, the first company to get like some nationwide notice for their fishing lures, not just being regional. That was Tom Mann. You follow as well. Hey, by the way, didn't get to it, but don't worry. Laura Ingraham's on the way next, and she'll get to it in detail. As President Trump, not only reacting yesterday to the IG's report, crashing Fox and Friends this morning, as they say in their headline, to blast Comey, scum on top. I think his quote was let's see if I have it here. I think Comey was a ringleader of this whole den of thieves. The president was on the show, dropped bomb after bomb here, called Comey insubordinate. Giuliani, his attorney, has called for the suspension of Mueller's probe after the DOJ watchdog report. Giuliani denies the report that Michael Cohen may cooperate with the investigation. President, there's quite a few bombs he dropped today as he was ripping tail here on the people that were denoted in the IG's report. And it's been interesting to watch the spin yesterday. There's that report and the reaction from the FBI, the reaction from the president, reaction from different members of Congress on that, which hopefully we'll have as Bradley Burns going to join us today on the Midday Show. We're going to ask him about the IG report and a whole bunch more.
Even Hillary Clinton commenting on it yesterday on her Twitter page.
How about that? What is she? Yeah, she had a 3-word tweet.
Yeah, and she
was like my emails.
Well, she was picking up on a popular meme referencing her emails with. I guess it was Comey that was using a Gmail, personal Gmail account, in the investigation, and Hillary Clinton was playing off of that and said, but her emails.
Right. You know, how about that?
the irony of that is not lost on us. All right. I'll be back at noon today. Talk more about that. Y'all have a great weekend.
You have a better weekend.
Okay.
Oh, happy Father's Day.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, my goodness.
That Father's Day, not hour, not afternoon, day. Okay. Duly noted. I like that. 8:58. We'll be back with you Monday morning, bright and early for Mobile Mornings. Check us out online, fmtalk1065.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Not Snapchat yet, right?
Not yet.
Not yet Snapchat.